Hello and welcome to another one of Dr. Jane's 10-Minute Positive Mental Health Podcasts. Today I wanted to talk about something that has just been put into an official World Health Organization documentation, though it's been around for as long as computers have been around. Yes, you have guessed it, I am going to talk about video gaming and the addiction to playing online. I'm going to illustrate this by a guy I saw quite recently. Only saw him for a few sessions because circumstances and finances didn't allow any more than that. But he did come. Originally he came because his wife desperately wanted him to come. He was very reluctant to come, but actually after, you know, the first session where he was a bit reluctant, when he realised that there was something there, he did come along for a few other sessions after that. So today I'm going to talk about a chap I saw called, we'll call him Freddie. He was 33, as I said. He was married, had a couple of kids, and he'd actually originally, you know, he was a quite bright guy, and he trained originally in computers. That was, you know, something that he was always interested in, but he had a reasonable job up in the finance section of computers, programming, data analysis, something like that. But he actually lost that job because one of the things about working in the city was, you know, the expectations that you're there when the stock market opens and, you know, what you're doing your stuff. But he wasn't doing that because the reason was that he would play till 4, 5 o'clock in the morning. You know, he's playing with players all over the world, so of course time differences, and eventually, because he just wasn't turning up for work, he they came to an agreement and he ended up leaving his job. But essentially his gaming addiction had been the thing that had stopped him working. So let's just have a think about the symptoms. I know the World Health Organization has come up with a sort of like a checklist, but if we just think of some of the bigger ones, and this is something that when we spoke, Freddie kind of very much attested to. So, no interest in a lot of things that were going on. He kind of lost interest in what was going on with his children. You know, there was quite small children, but he kind of lost interest. He wasn't really that interested in his wife. He used to get really cross and angry if something happened. Like his wife would go out to work and she would say, you need to take the children to the school or the doctor or whatever it is. And he'd get really cross and angry because that was, as far as he was concerned, impinging on his gaming time. And when he was not actually gaming, then his focus of attention just was on the next time he could game. When his wife originally used to say that she thought she had a problem, he was very dismissive of it. When his family used to start hinting about that he probably had a problem, and they'd say it in a very kind of jokey way, again, he'd be very dismissive about it. And he'd justify his use. Oh, well, I haven't got a job anymore, so therefore I haven't got anything to do, so therefore I can game till whatever time. One of the other things that, you know, they didn't mention this in the WHO checklist, but one of the things that is very common, and Freddie did actually agree with this as well, because you're spending so much time doing one thing in one area, you know, holding your console, looking in front of the machine, you start actually having physical problems. Like, you know, he used to get scrunched up shoulders. He used to get kind of, you know, he's beginning to get RSA with his thumbs and his fingers. But the teller was, he actually used to start to have really quite poor personal hygiene because every moment was spent gaming, so he wasn't therefore properly looking after himself. And he used to say, in a bizarre way, that actually kept people away from him. You know, the kids would kind of make a joke about, oh, daddy being a bit smelly and all that. But he used to say it would keep keep people away from him. And then he could actually carry on gaming. Poor eating. That's another absolute giveaway with somebody if they've got addicted to gaming, because it's not at the top of their list at all. That, you know, all they're really interested in is what's going on in their virtual world. And sleep problems, you know, that goes without saying. If you're, you know, up till and being highly stimulated, lots of lights and noises, then you're not going to be sleeping properly. And if you're going to be up till 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. Now, when we started doing a little bit of digging around and I asked Freddie, you know, why do you think he got into this? Now, he was good at his job and he liked his job and he used to kind of get a positive feedback from it. But I think it had got to the point where it got a bit samey for him and he was doing the same thing. He was good at it, but he was doing the same thing. And when he went online, he was really good at it. He'd been doing it for 16, 20 years, you know, as long as video games had been about in their infancy, he'd been doing it. And now they got far more sophisticated. He was enjoying that. And he was enjoying being good at it. Also, you know, he said it when he's online and in his virtual world, it stops him thinking about the rest of the world. He doesn't actually have to contribute. He didn't really actually have to contribute much to the welfare and the upbringing of his children. He'd do his bit, but he wasn't doing an awful lot. And because he was playing so much, he'd ended up kind of starting to get a notice of other players, and then he was getting ranked higher and higher, which of course was just then giving him a positive feedback, and he'd carry on playing. And he used to actually quite like the feeling of respect from the other people. Now, just a very brief background, he came from a pretty straightforward average family, you know, mum and dad, siblings, it was all pretty straightforward. There wasn't any huge issues going on there that he spoke about or really that I could kind of detect. Sometimes you get that people will be, you know, with a very tight lips, they'll say, no, everything was fine, absolutely everything was fine, I was upbringing. And, you know, there's usually something more to that. But I genuinely believe, Freddie, it was all pretty straightforward. They were worried about his spending his time and losing his, spending his time online and losing his job, you know, and it was all, you know, pretty straightforward stuff. And they were looking for ways to support him and his family. And, you know, and that had happened with the children, that his mum and dad had started stepping in a little bit as well to help with them dropping off at schools, that sort of thing, because they knew that he wasn't attending to them. So he was getting a positive feedback from his gaming. So, of course, it's something that he's not going to want to be giving up. If you get that positive loop going, it's hard to then say that I don't want to do that. When we started looking at the stuff that he could do, first of all, I wanted to ask him about his peers, the people he'd gone to school with, the people that he'd been close to, and what had they been doing with their lives. And he actually said that yes, a lot of them, he was, you know, ironically in contact with a lot of them via social media. But he would say that they were getting on, they were having good careers, they were having children, they were buying, you know, better houses, having nicer holidays and things. And that, at the time, almost just gave him the justification to give up and just carry on doing what he was doing, because he would say that he felt that compared to them, he couldn't be successful. So he might as well, and he realised that he was wasting time playing online all the time, but he realised that he wasn't going to be as successful as them. So therefore, he might as well just give up. And then he just carried on playing, which, you know, deep down, this guy knew that this wasn't the right thing to do. He was missing out on so much, not just his children, but he was just missing out on an awful lot of life, and he realised that. So what did we do? We did, as I always do with all addictions, we did risk analysis. We looked at when it was the most risky for him. You know, like if somebody's an alcoholic and they're going to a barbecue at the weekend, we look at the risks involved at that, and then we kind of work towards what's the best way to keeping yourself out of the danger of drinking. Much the same with his online stuff, but kind of intensified because he's at home all the time and his addiction is there. And his addiction, this is a little bit like almost like a food addiction, you against a drugs or alcohol addiction. You don't have to take drugs or alcohol, but you do have to eat. And it's much the same with online. There is a certain part of most people's lives these days that involves being online, and that was risky for him, because even though he might be looking at, I don't know, online shopping or a venue for one of his children's parties, I remember him saying, about the moment that was done, of course he's there, he's back in his usual space, and every single kind of environmental cue is saying to him, this is where you game, this is where you sit down in your comfy chair, and this is where you go into that world where there is nothing else going on apart from fantasy, and you can give up on everything else, or you can just put it to one side because you don't actually have to get yourself involved. It was a real kind of, you know, clarion call to him that he wanted to kind of get into that world. So we looked at the risk, and if there was stuff that he needed to do online, he would do it with another person there. He would do it with his wife there, and they agreed beforehand. Didn't work absolutely perfectly every time, especially to begin with, but he said it did get better because he kept doing this. It was an opportunity that obviously kept coming up a lot for him, and he kept doing it. And he would get her to time him, and he would say, right, I've got to look at, you know, party venues or whatever it is, but put the timer on me and don't let me be here more than 5 minutes. And eventually, the idea being that you can do that for yourself. So if there's stuff that you have to do and you're thinking all the time, risk, this is a risk, this is a risk that I could be doing something that, you know, is just going to be wasting my time, you think about the risk and you work towards the risk. And you also think about the goals that you start wanting to achieve. I always ask people when they first come to therapy, you know, what are their goals? What's the point of them being here? And of course, to begin with, he didn't think it was that much of a problem, but he soon kind of worked out that, yes, it was. It was impinging on his life and that of his family, and he wanted to stop doing it. So we started introducing a few more realistic goals. So things like spending a little bit more time with his children. Again, like the computer, they were there in his house. And so they were easy to then want to spend a little bit more time with. And it was about getting that balance. Now, as I say, Freddie only came for a very short time, and we did what we could in that short time. But I think you get the principle. So when it comes to, you know, looking at your gaming, be honest. If you do an assessment, please be honest and just properly log down the hours that you may spend on screen. No matter what it is you're doing, just log down the hours. And then if it is too much and other people have said to you it's too much, and there's all the other little things that are coming in, you know, that I said at the beginning, you know, the symptoms that he was suffering from, then it's time to do something about it. There's plenty of help out there, and of course by out there I mean online. So you have to do your risk analysis, and you say, I'm going to spend 5 minutes, and I set my alarm, you know, I set my alarm on my phone to just give me 5 minutes, and I'll look at what there is out there. But just any addiction, it's always the same. You have to look at the risk and you have to manage the risk. And then you also start very quickly, or you also start at the same time, introducing alternatives. Introducing alternatives that can be equally as pleasurable. So that is what I managed to do with Freddie. It was a very short time, as I say, and we were heading in the right direction. You know, when he left, he was definitely heading in the right direction. Something had changed for him and he was heading in the right direction. I have been Dr. Jane. You've been listening to a 10-minute positive mental health podcast. If you go to drjane.co.uk/podcast, there is an entire library there of all sorts of things that you may find useful, which I hope you do. And I will speak to you again very, very soon.